Samach Gimel Amud Beis, towards the bottom here, we have the Uriminhi, right? So this is going to be a question on what we just said, right? We had the statement of, what was it, Rav Papa? Yeah, Rav Papa had said that, or a Braisa in support of Rav Papa, that said, Shochet, someone who's Shochet the Pasach with Chametz, and he's over the Isser. But that's only if it's for the if the Shochet has it, or the Zorik, or someone in the Chabura has the Chametz. But anyone who's on the other side of the world, that doesn't count. And if somebody is, and when it comes to the carbon, which is the, for a chata, or some sort of kapara, which involves a bird, so then that's not going to be within the Isser. Because it only says, he only says that you can't have chametz when it comes to a full-fledged animal carbon. Or minhi. So now on the heels of that, it says, Hashochet es ha-pesach al chametz over b'lo sase. Rabbi Yehuda omer af ha-tamid amru lo amru ela be-pesach b'vad. Right? So it's machlokas whether or not this issue of doing a carbon with chametz is only by the pesach, or is it also by the tamid? So the Gemara says, amru lo, they say back to Rabbi Yehuda, lo amru ela be-pesach b'vad. It's only by the Karim Pesach. Eimasai, and when would that happen? Bizman sheish la-shochet ol ha-zorik la-echer me-achabura. Haya la-echer b'sof olam ein zakuklu. As we just said, it's not if someone across the world has chametz. That doesn't matter. Ve-echer ha-shochet, ve-echer ha-zorik, ve-echer ha-molik, ve-echer ha-maza, chayiv. Anyone who is shechting, anyone who's throwing the blood, anyone who is doing malika on the bird, and anyone who is mazeh. I think mazeh means to sprinkle. What's the difference between zrika and haza? I think it's throwing or sprinkling.
Sprinkling.
Right? And zrika meant what? Throwing? How do they translate the difference between zrika and malik and haza?
I think it's usually sprinkling, but
I think they're both sprinkling or both giving over the blood. It's just a matter of if it's for an animal or if it's for a bird. Haza is the word used for a bird. So either way, the point is that this braisa says that the person doing the bird carbon is also chayiv. Whereas that braisa we just said says it's not. Aval hakometzes hamincha, right? Someone who does the flower offering and has chametz at home, ain't over below tasa. It's not usher because of this. And similarly, hamakter es ha'imurin ain't over below tasa. Someone who is bringing the other limbs to be burned on the mizbeach is not over the usher if they have chametz. So the Gemara says, kasha malika, malika kasha aktara aktara. Because we said, on the one hand, Malika is not Chayiv the first time, and we said Haktara is Chayiv the first time. Right? If you remember earlier in the daf, I think. So Gemara says, L'tamech t'ishleim ha'higufa. If according to that, if you're going to take it so literally, so then you're going to have a problem in the middle, within the Braisa itself, the Katani, because it says, Lo amru ela b'pesach b'vad. It's only by the Pesach. And then it says, V'hadar tani echashur v'esur v'echad ha'molik v'echad ha'maza. And that's talking about Chatas ha'of. Or carbon oaf. And therefore, how does that make any sense? The first part said it's only by the Pesach, and then it goes on to say that it's also by birds. There's no bird by a Pesach. Elaha v'ha Rabbi Shimon. They're both referring to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that you are chayev. Rabbi Shimon was in our Mishnah, who says you're pater for things if it's on Erev Pesach and it's another carbon, but he says that you are chayev if you did it on Pesach, because then it would be a legitimate carbon. Malika, malika lakasha, kam barabasa, kam b'chol shamoed. When it says that malika is asr, that's only referring to a bird which is shechted in the middle of Yantif. But if it's on arbasa, then it's pater. And kan b'chol shamoed. And here, where it says that you'd be chayev is on chol shamoed. The Rabbi Shimon here, and both of them are going according to Rabbi Shimon, and it's just a matter of when you bring those karbanos. And similarly, haktara, haktara, namu lokasha, tanaihi, that the haktara, right, the bringing of the extra limbs, the burning of the extra limbs is also not a problem. The question is whether you juxtapose and therefore carry over the qualities of shchita to haktara. Shchita we know is chayev. The question is haktara chayev, and that just depends if you make a connection through the pasuk which says lo sizbacha chames dam zuchvil elin chel v'chagi ad boker. That the lo yalin is referring to the emurin that you have to burn also. Okay, so now we are up to Rabbi Yehuda Omer. This is the first two dots, the first colon on the page. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af hatamid. Even the tamid is included. So my tamid, Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the tamid is included in the Isser of Chametz? So Amar lach zivchi. The pasuk says, lo sisbacha chametz dam zivchi. Zevach hamyuchad li yumani hu tamid. Zivchi, meaning my carbon, my zevach. Hashem is saying, the one that I get specifically, the one that's unique to me, which is the carbon tamid, the daily offering. Meaning not strictly the carbon Pesach. So the Gemara says, by the way, we also say a similar phrasing. By the carbon tamid, we say this on Rosh Chodesh, right? As karbani lachmi, right? Hashem refers to it as my carbon, my bread, my food. So that's why here zivchi is also a reference to my carbon, which is the tamid. Rabbi Shimon Omer apesach hapesach barabasar. Rabbi Shimon says that if it's the Pesach, so then it's going to be chayv. But if it's other things on the 14th, then it's not going to be chayv, except if it's on Chol HaMoed. My time, the Rabbi Shimon, dechsev zivchi zivchi trei zimni. It says it twice. The pasuk says first in where's the first pasuk from? Shmos Chav Gimel. Lo sizbacha chametz dam zivchi. And then the other pasuk later on in Shmos says lo sizbacha chametz dam zivchi. Sorry. It's the same exact pasuk? The same exact pasuk is said twice. Chav Gimel Yod Ches and Lamed Dalet Chav Hei. So either way, so Karibe Zevach Zvachai. It's Zvachai meaning my multiple karbanos. L'may Hilchaza Palginu Rachmanu Mehadadei. Why is it that the Torah specifies the Karban Pesach from other karbanos? And why doesn't it say, sorry, hold on, well, why does he say it twice? Meaning, there's Zivchi, and then there's Zivchi. There's Zivchi back in Perek Chav Gimel, and then there's Zivchi Perek Lamadal. So why does it split them up? Why doesn't it say my Karbanos? So just assume that it's referring to the Karban Pesach or other Karbanos, like Rabbi Shimon applies to during Pesach itself. When there's actually a chiv on the carbon Pesach itself, so then you're not going to be chiv on the other zvachim. I don't know how he darshens this from the pasuk. This is one of those things you kind of just accept. But he says that teaches you when the carbon Pesach is applicable, you're not chiv for other karbanos. Bizman deleka zevach, and when there's no possibility of bringing the carbon Pesach, so then mechayev azvachay, then you're chiv on the other karbanos. Okay, interesting drasha, that during the Chol HaMoed, you'd be chayev for bringing the karbanos while having chametz. Okay, Uva Moed. We had said, according to Rabbi Shimon, that you're chayev, but that's only if it's shelo lishmo. If you bring a karban during Chol HaMoed, and you do so for the same of karban Pesach, for the sake of karban Pesach, lishmo, so then pater. So the Gemara says, Tama de shelo lishmo, the reason that a person would be chayev is because you said explicitly that you're doing it shelo lishmo, meaning you're doing it for a shlamim. Hastama, however, pater. If you didn't explicitly say that this was for a shlamim, so then it would be chayev, it would not be chayev, it would be stam, it would be default considered to be the Karban Pesach. So am I? Why would that be the case? Why would you assume that a carbon which is being...
Wouldn't it be the opposite?
That's what you would think. Yeah, so that's what the Gemara is going to say now, or the Gemara is going to ask about it now. Why would you say that? Usually you would think that if the carbon is not being brought on the Erev Pesach, so then you should default say that it's not a carbon Pesach. So the Gemara says, am I Pesach b'shari mos hashana? Shlamim have. Why would you think that the carbon Pesach, which is brought at other times during the year, is a carbon Pesach, should just be considered a shlamim? So here you understand that in order to undo, to uproot the status of an animal being a Korban Pesach, you have to actively do it. Meaning, if you designate a sheep or a lamb for the sake of the Korban Pesach, it is itself going to remain the Korban Pesach for the rest of the year until you verbally undo it. You're going to have to say, this is no longer a Korban Pesach, this is now being used for something else. That's the power of Korban Pesach designation, apparently. Interesting concept. So, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, Nizrika Mipi Chabura, the Amru. Oh, this is not a reference to blood. This is saying that everyone agrees. Nizrika Mipi Chabura. Basically, they all said in one voice. They all threw it out in the same way. Kagon Shahayu Baalim Tamei Meis. V'nidchan LePesach Sheni. What's the situation where this could happen? If all of the owners of the Karban become Tamei Meis. V'nidchan LePesach Sheni, and therefore you have to bring the Karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. Destami L'shem Pesach Kai. And presumably that's what it's referring to for Pesach Sheni.
That's the only time it's going to be considered a Korban Pesach.
Right. Other times it'll be considered a Shlamim. Meaning the first opinion seemed like it doesn't matter what time of the year. It's always going to be considered a Korban Pesach. And now Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda says, no, it's not referring to any time during the year. It's referring specifically to Korban Pesach, which is being brought on Pesach Sheni. We'll assume that it's being brought as a Korban Pesach until you say otherwise. But other times during the year, we're not going to assume that, and you don't need an Akira except for that moment, except for that time. Okay? New Mishnah. This Mishnah is basically a historical retelling of how exactly they brought the Korban Pesach. So let's read. I might need some translations here. HaPesach nishchat b'shalosh kitos. The Korban Pesach is brought with three different groups. Three classes, like the word kita. Shenamar, as it says in our pasuk from yesterday. V'shachdu aso kol kahal adas Yisrael. It says, kol kahal adas Yisrael. Kahal v'eda v'Yisrael. Right? Three different kinds of groups. A kehila, an eda, and a Yisrael. We've talked about the difference of those groups before. Nich nesakas rishona nismali hazara. The first group comes in, you fill up the hazara, and then nalu dalsos hazara, and then you lock them up. Right, you lock everybody in the hazara to do the Korban Pesach. Ataku veheriu vitaku, and they blow the shofros. I don't know why exactly they blow the shofros. Is there some kind of mitzvah to blow the shofar that I don't remember in the pasuk?
Says when you're offering a public sacrifice.
Oh, it's just a regular carbon shofar. It's not specific to the Korban Pesach. Is it?
Seems to be any public offering.
Yeah.
That's what it says here.
It says here it's the trumpets, not the shofar, but...
Yeah, that's true. That's not a shofar. Okay, not really sure why... if it's unique to the Korban or to the Korban Pesach or not, but okay, because they did sing Hallel afterwards also, which was unique to the Pesach, I think. So the Gemara says HaKohanim Omdim Shuros Shuros. The Kohanim would stand line; they would line up, right, in different rows. Ubidem Bezichei Kesef Bezichei Zav Shura Shekula Kesef Kesef Shura Shekula Zav Zav. You had one whole line which would pass back and forth the blood in these containers which were silver, or the blood in containers which were gold. And never two shall meet, that the golds would keep in the gold line, and the silvers would stay in the silver line. Vishur shikul zav zav, v'lo hayu me'uravin, they would not mix. V'lo hayu levazich l'shulayim, and these containers didn't have any, I think this is like edges, right? Didn't have any corners. Right, didn't have any points, so you couldn't...
They didn't have a wide base.
Right, you didn't have any, there's no way to put it down, right? It was based like a wobbly, or like a cone, or something like that. Right, you can't put it down, otherwise it'll all spill out. Right? Shema yanichum yikari shadam, so that the blood does not congeal, right? Is that what that word means? Congeal? Yeah. Right? Because then you wouldn't be able to sprinkle it, and it would be pusle. Okay? Shachat Yisrael, when a non-Kohen shechts the Korban Pesach, which they're allowed to do, v'kibel ha-Kohen, and the Kohen accepts the blood, Nosno lachavero, he gives it to his friend, meaning to the next Kohen in the line. Vachavero lachavero, and then they pass it down. Vimeka umakabal es hamale, umachzer es harekan. They accept first the full container, and then they take back the empty one, right? So they're in one line, and the ones that are coming back empty, but in the same line. So you accept the full one as it's going down the line, and then you take the empty one to bring it back. And then Mafsir Sarekan, the Kohen Hakarov Eitzal Mizbeach Zarko Zrika Achas Kanei Hayesod. And then that Kohen is going to spill the blood of that Karban Pesach, is going to spill the blood on the Mizbeach. So this is presumably for efficiency, right? If it would require every Karban Pesach needs a runner, right? Someone to run the blood back and forth to the Mizbeach, so that would take a long time. And imagine the thousands and thousands of people trying to bring Karban Pesach. So that's why you need an efficient system. Yatza Kas Rishon, Minichsa Kas Shnia. The first group leaves, and then the second one comes in. Right? Like elevator etiquette. Let the people leave before you go in. Yatza Shnia, Minichsa Shlishis, Kamas HaRishon, Kachmas HaShnia HaShlishis. The same thing you did in the first, the second, and the third. Karos HaHalel. They would sing Halel when they would bring the Karbanos, or when they would Shech the Karbanos. You can imagine sort of the scene. It's probably pandemonium, and people are trying to sing the Hallel at the same time. I don't know how they did it, but either way, Im Gamru Shanu, if they finish the Hallel, and there's still people doing the Shecht in the Karban Pesach, right? It's just taking them a while, so then you have to sing Hallel again. V'im Shanu Shileshu, and if there's still people saying it after they finish, if there's still people Shecht in the Karban Pesach after they finish Hallel the second time, so then you have to say it the third time. Even though it's never actually happened where they'd have to say it three times because the Kohanim were efficient enough that they finished it by the second time, that is still the halacha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Miyamim Shal Kas Shlishis Lo Higiyu Ahaft Ki Shema Hashem Mivnei She'ama Mu'atin. Interesting, says Rabbi Yehuda, from the times of the from the whole time, I don't know what Miyamim is referring to, but they never had to even get to the part where it says Ahavti Ki Shema Hashem in Hallel, because
the last group, I guess, was smaller.
Yeah, there are less people in the third one of the leftovers, right? The first group, second group came in, and then by the time the third group came, they didn't have as many Karban Pesach to do. So, Kamaseo b'chol, kach maseo b'shabbos, you do everything the same thing on weekday and Shabbos, el shakwanu medich mas hazara, except for the fact that the Kohanim will clear out the Azara on Shabbos, shalo b'rason chachamim. Right? Meaning they would do the same thing. The question is rather whether the rabbis would be upset about it. Right? They'd always do the same thing. They'd always clean it out. They'd always sweep it out. But on Shabbos, the rabbis would be upset about it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kos haya mamali midam hataroves. They would fill up the blood from the mixture, which was on the ground. We'll talk about how that's okay tomorrow. Zrako zrika ach zagabe mizbeach, and then they would do zrika on the mizbeach. Chacham didn't like that, because as you can imagine, that blood is mixed with other bloods, which are not supposed to be put on the mizbeach. So we'll talk about that. I think it's tomorrow, not today. Ketzat tolen umafshitin. How would they hang up the Karban Pesach and skin it? They would do it. Unkelios, not to be confused with the translation of the Torah, which is unkelos with a samech. This is unkelios, some kind of hooks. Where were these hooks?
In the Tamid? What? They had hooks for in Masechus Tamid, they described how they did the Tamid, and it was on a hook. It was lots of illustrations.
Would they use the same hooks? I don't know. These were unkelios shel barzel hayikvuim b'ketzalim, that these were sort of metal hooks that they had hanging on the walls in the Azara, uvamudim, and on the columns.
Yeah.
So I don't know where the Tamid one was. I'd assume it'd be closer to the Hefal. Yeah.
I think it was inside.
It would make sense if it was inside, because you have to bring them in Mizbeach. Shebehen tolen mafshitin, and on those hooks they would hang up the animal and they would skin it. Right. Anyone who's been to Costco knows what that looks like, because they have those lambs just sitting there hanging in the freezers. Anyways, komi she'en lo makom litlos lo hashit, anyone who didn't have a hook, right? There were so many people there. There were only so many hooks. Maklos daklem v'chalakim, they would have different like poles of some kind, and smooth poles. Hayusham umaniach al ksefo v'al kasef chavero. You sort of like those pictures that you see from the Meraglim, right? You would put, you know, the pole on one shoulder and let it onto your friend's shoulder, and you put the Pesach in the middle, let it hang there like a spit. Like a little bit tola umafshit. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and that's how you would skin it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, arba asar shachalios b'shabes maniach gadol kasef. It's getting even more difficult to imagine, but maniach yado al kasef chavero v'yad chavero al kseifo v'tola umafshit. You wouldn't use a pole; you would just use your arms, right? You just anyone know the movie? This is going to sound crazy, but anyone know the movie Little Giants? Anyone know the movie Little Giants? No, the football movie about kids.
I mean, I've heard of that.
You've never seen the movie Little Giants? Anyways, there's this scene where this
Let's not forget the age difference there, Rabbi.
This movie came out in the early 90s.
I saw the movie. It was a great movie.
Thank you, Evan. There's a scene there.
Age difference.
Okay. There's a scene there where they're like trying to show off that this one kid is really good at football. And the father puts his hand on somebody else's shoulder. And the guy does pull-ups on his arm. Right? So the father is strong and the guy is strong. You can only imagine how strong you have to be to put your arm on somebody else's shoulder and have the Karban Pesach hanging from it and then somebody else skinning it, pulling the skin off the Karban Pesach while it's hanging on your arm. I could never do that. I mean, I don't know how it's possible.
These Kohanim were very...
Yeah, they must have like been working out. I mean, they only work 2 weeks out of the year, so they have time, you know. But either way, so that's what they would do. They would hang them on their own arms, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when it was on Shabbos. Why? Because presumably that apparatus, whatever that pole is, you're not allowed to use it. It's mukzer or something. I don't know why exactly it would be so usher, but it says it's an issue of tikkun kli. You're establishing something.
But they're in the base of Migdash. I'm confused why they couldn't.
Oh, okay, good. So we're going to talk about this tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow or today, in terms of what exactly you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. Remember, this has to be, as Michael's pointing out, in order for this to be a problem, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it has to be an Isser D'Oraisa. It says here in the bottom that really it's a problem of smoothening, that they would smoothen the poles. I don't know why they wouldn't smooth them before to create them. That was really the problem. The Tzlach asked that question.
So it's a matter of preparation for something on Shabbos.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, making the apparatus, that would be a problem. But that they should have done it before Shabbos. I don't know why they can't do it, according to Rabbi Eliezer, before Shabbos and then use them on Shabbos. Here it might be, others say that it might be a problem of Muktzah, which, as Michael's pointing out, should not be a problem in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam and Rabbi Avraham Bar Tanura say that the Isser is because you can't use poles on Shabbos. It doesn't say why. But they say it's because of Tiltzul Muktzah. Some say it's because of Muktzah. Which does make sense, because presumably you have already prepared for it. You've sort of established you're going to use these poles on Shabbos. So why would that be a problem of Muktzah?
And also inside the Azara itself.
Okay, some say because maybe it's still used, you're still able to do it without it. So maybe it's unnecessary. That's a tough sell. I don't know. That's a tough one. But either way, that's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. It's going to be even more interesting because, at least if this is the same Rabbi Eliezer allows you to do even more on Shabbos, so we'll see later. But Kra'o, once you skin the animal, so then you rip it, you tear it.
Tear it apart.
Yeah. Right, you make like an incision of some kind in the animal, and then v'hotzi ha'semurav, you take out all the different organs from the inside. Nisano b'magis, you put it on some kind of platter. V'iktirin al gamizbeach, and you hand it over to the Kohen who's going to bring it to the mizbeach. You can imagine, as the Gemara is going to talk about this actually, you can imagine how many innards are being burned on the mizbeach. The mizbeach, by the way, was huge. So it's not like you're talking about like the small little thing like you think about. This is a big area. How big was the mizbeach? I think we've talked about it.
20 by 20?
Yeah, it was like 20 amos by 20 amos or something like that. So it's a big area. A bunch of Kohanim could stand on it at once. But you're talking about thousands of animals' innards. You could presumably have a lot to burn up. Yatzakas Rishon of Yeshalah Barbaris. The first group goes out and then they settle down in their Airbnbs, right, on the Temple Mount. Not exactly sure how much room there is for all of that, but nowadays with architecture, you could sort of pile them up on top of each other, all these houses. Shnia would leave, and they would sit and they would eat in the chel, which is also a part of the harabayas. Vashlish is b'mkomo medes, and the third group would just sit in the azara. Chashecha yatzu v'tzelo es p'schein. Not sure why they have to sit there like this.
I'm not sure why they have to wait. Why does the first group have to wait for the third group and the second group?
Mm-hmm.
And they got to get ready for. They got to get home.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why they have to wait. This is talking about Shabbos. That's why. And it's a problem of Hotzah. That's what we're talking about. Sorry, I missed that part. It's a problem of Hotzah. Therefore, they can't leave until it gets dark and Shabbos is over.
The question is, Jerusalem was surrounded by a wall, so why couldn't they carry helmet?
Well, that depends where they're living. If you're going outside the wall, presumably, then you would have a problem. So if they're not though, so then you're right, meaning that
doesn't have to be eaten within the wall. Anyway, it says here that that's a good. This isn't my question. This is other people's question. It said that people might get confused by it, but in theory you could have.
It talks about that in here also. Even though it wasn't the Rosh HaRabim, because we had the Gemaras in, remember we had the Gemaras in Erevin that said they would close they would lock up the gates of Yerushalayim, so therefore it was a complete Rosh HaYachid. It says because it looks a little bit like there are issues of Rishuyos, because there are significant boundaries within Harabayas that it would look like you're going outside of it. And there would be an Issa Durabanan, which comes back to Michael's question. Wait a second, Durabanans and Shvus shouldn't apply in the base of Migdash. Apparently outside of the Azara did apply.
Well, the carrying, I think it's the carrying more, because it's Shabbos getting ready for Yom Tov.
You're right. Well,
there. But the carrying at the end, like maybe they had to wait until Shanto.
That's also Durabana. Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Shkaf David. Okay. Gemara says, Amar Yitzchak, Ein HaPesach Nishchar El B'Shlosh Kitos Shal Shloshim Shloshim Bnei Adam. Every group has to be at least 30 people in every group. My time, because it says, Kahal Ve'edav Yisrael. Misaf Kalani V'Basachas Ibezacharzeh. Very similar to the Machlokas about how to blow the shofar. We don't know. When it says the three groups, Kahal, Eda, and Yisrael, we don't know, does that mean there have to be a Kahal, Eda, and Yisrael in each of the three groups? Or does that mean that only one of each? So therefore, Bezeach Hazeh, Hilkach Be'inan, Shalosh Kito, Shal Shloshim, Shloshim, Ne Adam. Therefore, you need three of 30. Of the Ibbasachas, Ha'ika, because if the real drasha of Kahal, Eda, and Yisrael is that they all have to be together in the same group, so then there is. You have 30, because each one is 10. And if it's one after the other, Ha'ika, you also have each one's afterwards. Hilkach, Bechamshin Nami Sagya, you could also work it out with only 50 groups, through 50 people. 50 people. Da'ali Tlustin V'avdi, 30 go in, and the first one, that's 10, 10, and 10 together. And then Ayli Asara V'Nafki Asara, Ayli Asara V'Nafki Asara. Right? Because then you could do 10, 10. You would still have the Zachar Zah situation there.
But they're worried about... Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, there were more than 90 people bringing Korbanas.
Presumably, yeah, a lot more.
When we're talking about groups of 30, and there were three groups,
mm-hmm.
Is this just over and over and over? Or... That isn't quite clear from what they're saying here. I mean, that could have been hundreds of people.
I think it's three groups of 10. I think each group is the three, Kahal, Eda, and Yisrael. Each one is 10, so that makes 30.
Right.
And my question from there is similar to Henry's. Why are we worried about how to juggle in 50?
Right.
We should be talking about how to juggle in 100,000.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the Gemara gets at here, why it's talking about such small numbers. But yeah, you're right, I think it's just telling you like a minimum. That's what I would assume.
How many people could be in the group that were sharing a korban? Was there a maximum number?
I don't think so.
They have to eat a gazayas?
Yeah, each person has to have at least a gazayas worth, so that's how you would discern, but that could be a lot of people.
Because then we're talking, there's like a 50 group that's 50 times, let's say 50 people in each Corbin group, then that would be 50 times 50 is 2,500.
I don't think every person has to be inside the Azara.
No, just one representative.
You're right, one just one person from the, each group. Each.
There's a story somewhere about late in the Second Temple period, they did a census by counting the kidneys from the...
The Gemara is going to talk about it tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's from the Gemara.
Good time.
Agrippus wanted to know how many people are there. I think it was Agrippus. We'll see in a sec. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow. We might see it today. So either way, the Gemara continues. Nichnas akas rishona. So itmar abai amar ninalu tanan, rava amar noalin tanan. The question is, did the gates of the Beis HaMikdash close by themselves, or did someone have to close them? It's a very interesting machlokas, and the Gemara says, what do we care? Mai binayu. So ik binayu lemismach anisa. Do we rely on miracles? Abai amar ninalu tanan, kamada ilamalu v'samchinan anisa. Right, that the gates are going to close by themselves. We're just going to rely on a miracle. Stuff as many people as you can into the Azara, and whenever we're done, that's when it's going to be determined when the gates start closing. Okay.
Aren't there miracles always going on in the Beis HaMikdash?
Yes, but the question is whether we wait for them.
You know, they were mentioned last week too. Like the ashes would be absorbed by the ground, even though there's tons of it. The blood. I can't remember, there's like just a ton of...
No, that was talking about what practically would happen. I don't know if that was an ace, was it? Maybe I misunderstood it. But either way, so the Gemara here is saying that whether we should do something, right? There are definitely nisim that happen in the Beis HaMikdash. The question is whether we should do something to promote whatever needs to be done, or do we wait for the miracle to happen? Rava amar noalin tanan v'lo samchnei nisa. Rava says, no, we close the gates ourselves. And when the Mishnah says Amar Rabbi Yehuda Chas V'Shalom She'akavet Mehalal Nisnada She'ein Azar Nin Elas Al Kol Adam B'Yisrael B'Chachma V'Yeres Chedikah Kavet Mehalala. I'm not really sure what this is talking about, but there's a Mishnah in Yos that says that Akavet Mehalal was, you should never say that Akavet Mehalal was put in Chayrim, because the Azara was never locked on behalf of any person like him. It's some kind of turn of phrase. Is that what it means? Right, that when we would close the gate when the gates of the Azara were closed, when there's so many people there, he was the greatest among them, or something like that. Right, so there's like a phrase. It's really like a sort of like an offhand kind of comment that we're just darshaning, because the word says nin eles, right? That you know, I don't know why. I really don't understand why we need this phrase in this description. But it's saying like chas v'shalom, Akav ben Hala was never put in chayrim. He was the greatest among all of those who were there when the gates of the Azara were locked. Just because it uses that phrase, they were locked in a passive form. So Abai Mitaritz Tame, Rav Mitaritz Tame, Abai Mitaritz Tame, Abin Arzar, Ein Abin Arzar, Ein Bazar, Shenin Allah, Al Kol Adam B'Yisrael, B'Chachma Yisrael, Chedik B'Chavim Mehal. That phrase means Nin Allah, meaning it was closed passively by itself, by a nace, by a miracle. Rav Mitaritz Tame, Ein Bazar, B'Shah, Shen No Alin Osa, Al Kol Yisrael, B'Chachma Yisrael, Chedik B'Chavim Mehal. And Rav is just going to reinterpret it to mean that somebody had closed it. And that's what it's referring to when it says that he was the greatest among all of those when it was closed by a person. Okay. Not really sure why we need that, but the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, Me'olam lo nisma'ech adam ba'azara chutz mipesach echad shehi b'mehillel. No one ever was trampled. Is that what that word means? Nitma'ech?
Crushed.
No one was ever crushed in the Azara because of how many people were there. Clearly not just talking about 30 people, because how many people were there, except for one time. In the times of Hillel, she nitma'ech bozak inech, because one elderly man was crushed, v'hi ukarin oso pesach me'uchin. And they called it the crushing Pesach because that person was crushed that time. A very gruesome sort of description. I don't know. Has anyone here ever been to anyone ever been to Meiron for Lag BaOmer? No. Similar scenes there. You know, tons and tons of people. You know, just without a care in the world. You find scenes like that also in Simchas Beis HaShoevas in Me'asharim. Anyone ever been to Chassidus Shtiblach? Simchas Beis HaShoevas or Me'asharim, these places are packed. You cannot move. And if you try to dance, you can't walk. You're just like floating. People, like the person behind you, the person in front of you, you're sandwiched in between you. You're just along for the ride. And if you don't keep your feet under you, you will fall down and get trampled. It's kind of crazy stuff. But you can, unfortunately, that happened in the Beis HaMikdash too. Tana Rabbanan. Here you go, David. Pam achas bikesh Agrippas hamelach litein enav b'achlosei Yisrael. Agrippas wanted to know, how many Jews are there? Amar lei l'kohen gadol tein enech b'apsachim. If you want to know how many Jews there are, go to the Karban Pesach and you'll go figure it out because they'll see how many people are there. I, by the way, don't understand how this is going to help you, because the Karban Pesach, as Michael pointed out, was for the sake of many other people. So I think it's going to go through some of the math, but it's not going to justify how there's a variation for every Pesach.
They're going to make an assumption.
Right, they're making assumptions about it, but it's not going to really tell you.
Not have more than 10 people registered.
Yeah, so here we go. Natal kulya mikol echad. Kulya is a kidney?
Yes.
Yeah. So kulya mikol echad, they would take the kidney from every Pesach. They found 600,000 pairs of kidneys, which is 1.2 million kidneys.
Don't they put them on the Mizbeach?
So we're going to talk about that. Why did they take them in pairs? Does it say?
Well, you're taking both kidneys out. It's a pair of kidneys.
Right. Oh, they would just take from one each Pesach, both kidneys?
Yeah. It sounds like they took one from each. They only took one. And why they're not saying it's 1.2 million instead of saying it's 600,000 pairs, I have no idea.
I mean, Henry would make sense, but why would they do that? Why would they take two if they're trying to count? You just need one.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't understand how they could delay the burning of the kidneys.
We're going to talk about that in a second, Michael.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the wondering. You're not the only one wondering, yeah.
All right.
I think they want to make the point that it's double the number that left Egypt. And so rather than say the simple, it's 1.2 million.
There's like a cute connection. Okay.
Well, you still have to count the pairs. If you count each one, you're doubling the number of animals.
Well, they don't have to take about both kidneys out to give to Agrippus. They could just take one out.
Well, they would have taken two out for the korban.
Yeah, but why? What do you need to take two out for the count? Just take one out for the count.
Well, I don't know what they did with these two for the count.
Yeah. So we have machlokas here. Were there 600,000 kidneys or were there 600,000 animals?
Well, the translation is 600,000 pairs.
Right. Does that mean 600,000 animals? Meaning the pair from each carbon?
I would assume so.
I think it's 1.2 million because if you took one from each.
Was that 1.2 million animals or 1.2 million kidneys?
Yeah, but then the Gemara wouldn't say pairs of kidneys.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why we're saying pairs.
Right.
It does say one.
A kidney.
Right, it says one in the previous sentence, but then it says pairs in the next sentence.
Yeah, and each they had to keep them together. You have to bring it up.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a confusing phrasing. Let's continue with the calculations, though. I don't know if we're going to find it within these phrases here. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ein lecha kol pesach u'pesach shelo nimnu alav yosher me'asar b'nei adam." There were at least 10 people on each Karban Pesach. How many more than 10 people? I don't know. You can imagine. You go back to the Costco reference. You see how big a lamb is. You know, only 10 people. I don't know how 10 people could eat that whole thing. You know, that's a lot of meat on one lamb.
We had 25 guys that had a lamb for a barbecue.
Yeah.
And we were stuffed. We had to eat a lot of meat.
And it was a whole lamb?
Yeah, we got a whole lamb.
And 25 people couldn't eat it?
No, I think we did, but we almost ate it all, but we weren't eating pizzayas, we were eating a ton.
Okay.
Michael, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it was a glorious day.
So it was a glorious day. Gil is chalashing over here.
Next time you do it, invite the groups.
So yeah, we'll have to have a hands-on experiment here, Gil, about how many people can eat one Karban Pesach.
But the Gemara here clearly says that the group was never more than 10.
No, it's always more than 10.
It's at least
10. You never have a Pesach which had, which didn't have more than 10. Meaning at least 10. It's a double negative, so it's confusing.
That's not how they translated it.
That's how it should be
translated. And you will not find even one Pesach from all the Pesachs that were offered that did not have...
Which did not have 10.
Did not have more than 10.
You will not find one that did not have more than 10. Meaning, you will always find more than 10.
So the bottom line is we're talking excluding those who are Tamei or distant.
Right.
You're talking...
Everybody.
Understand. You're talking 12 million people minimum. Maybe 15, 18 million people.
Yeah. Yeah. How they fit that into three groups, I have no idea. Right, 600,000, you get 600,000 kidneys. Let's split that up into three groups. So you have 20,000 kidneys. Even if we're going to go with Henry's understanding that it was one kidney per, right? So 20,000 pairs of kidneys. That's 20,000 animals in the Azara at one time. How's it possible?
Well, it's only 30.
What?
It's only 30 at a time?
It doesn't say that it can't be more than 30.
Well, I'm saying it's 200,000 animals, right? Gil's right. It's 200,000 animals in the Azara.
But not at one time.
Well, how else are you going to do it? You only have three groups.
If you have 600,000 in three groups, that's 200,000 a group.
Is it clear that you can't just keep redoing the three groups? I mean, why would you ever talk about 30? I mean,
I hear what you're saying. Just like you could have more than 30 people in one group, you could clearly also have more than three groups, maybe.
Didn't they just continuously bring in
a certain number
of people, close the doors?
Third group was all invited.
I don't know how it's possible. 200,000 animals, I mean, not 200,000, 600,000 animals. How many hours do you have? You have 5 hours? Between the Karban Pesach and nighttime? And you have to burn all of it.
Like an assembly. Math now. If you check it every second, it starts to cover an hour.
I mean, that's...
So we're about to get to the issue of whether it was one or two kidneys per animal. This will clear the next little...
Oh, yeah? Okay, so we'll distract ourselves from trying to figure out how it's possible with that then. V'hayu korin oso Pesach m'ubin. They would call it a fat Pesach, is that what it is? A thick Pesach?
Thick
Pesach, okay. So, nato kulia habai aktura. How could you say they took the kidneys and gave them to Agrippa? So you have to bring those on the Mizbeach, says Michael Barish. To hadar makdilu. Yeah, okay, fine. So they gave it to Agrippa and then they brought on the Mizbeach. What's the big deal? So it says, wait a second. V'haksiv v'hiktiro. Shlo ya'arev chalavav shel zeh bezeh. You can't just group them all together and then put them all in one big kidney pile and burn them together. They have to be burned together with the other parts of the animal. So
the two kidneys could not be separated. The two kidneys from a particular lamb or goat could not be separated. Yeah. You had to burn both kidneys together. So how did you set one aside for Agrippa?
Oh, is that what it's saying?
That's what I think, yes. You should not mix the fats of this sacrifice with those of another.
Okay.
Don't mix.
Well, that's not mixing it with the fats. Does that necessarily mean that the kidneys can't be separated?
I think the Gemara will explain a little bit more here.
Okay, it will keep going a little bit. Dehadar maktilu chadachad, then they would burn them one by one. And they wouldn't mix them together. So the Gemara says, wait a second, v'atanev hiktiram. But you have to bring them together. Shikulo ka'echad. That all of the limbs have to be brought together.
Tamei give Pesach Korban, all of the stuff you're going to burn should be burned all at once.
Right, with the other parts of the animal. Not necessarily to say that you have to take out the two kidneys together, but at least you have to rejoin that kidney with the other parts of the animal.
Well, we have to be talking about 1.2 million, not 600,000, because why would they make a point about double the people that left Egypt? I mean, if it was 600,000 people with 600,000 lambs, there's no reason to talk about double the number that...
Yeah, that could be. El Tfisa Ba'alma. Rather, the Kohen didn't really take it out and give it to the Agrippus. He just took out the kidney and said, hey, I got one. Deshakul Minayu Adiyavin Lamidi Achrina.
He's counting.
He just picked it up, said, I got another one, and then put it back with the other limbs. I don't know why you need to therefore count the kidneys, though. Just
I don't want to count.
Presumably, you would... Presumably, they took out the kidneys in order to sort of dictate, you know, a small thing that they could count a bunch of them together, as opposed to taking the whole animal and counting the whole animal. But if you're only going to pick up the kidney, count it, and then put it back down, so what's the point of picking up the kidney? Just count the animal. I don't get it. Either way, the Shakuminayo ad Yavin lay media achrina until they gave him something else to do. So then, that's what they would do. They would take a kidney and then they would replace the kidney with like a rock or something, and then they would count all the rocks later. Okay, I'm not really sure why you need the kidney for that, but okay. That's how they would do it, and they counted 1.2 million kidneys. That either means 1.2 million Pesachs were brought, or that means 600,000. I'm inclined to say, like David, that it was 1.2 million Pesachim, which just makes it all the more unbelievable that they could get 1.2 million animals in. How they find 1.2 million sheep? That's my question. You know, I imagine like the Esrog market is something that they, you know, people use all year round. They're working on the Esrog farms in whatever, in wherever they are. Where are they? In Cairo? Where are they?
In Israel, I think.
No, they're Israel, and then there's some in Egypt somewhere. Morocco, yeah. So I assume that there are like sheep herders that are just waiting for the Pesach every year. You know, that's
In New Zealand, I think there are many, many times more sheep than there are people.
Yeah, they say so, that.
I guess if, you know, you're really into sheep raising, I mean, you...
ship them over. But they can only be a year old, so you got to catch it. This is not like you can just give over your old sheep.
What I mentioned is if a large part of the population of Eretz Israel is engaged in sheep herding, I guess, you know, like...
I mean, 1.2 million.
Did you bring your sheep with you when you came up to Yerushalayim?
No, I think you could buy them there, I think.
Right, but could you bring your own?
I mean, I guess you could.
Well, there you go. I'm trying to remember.
I don't know. Crazy, just the numbers are staggering. Because we've all been to Yerushalayim. Like, it's just, we're not talking about, like, you know, rural Michigan. We're talking about a small place. You know, this is not a... How do you get the lambs down the stairs? Like, how does that work? It's like, the logistics are crazy.
I don't know if it was a Midrash, the stairs. But there's something about the fact that the Beis HaMikdash expanded.
Yeah, there. That's about the bowing and things like that, yeah.
All these people...
So, okay, let's get back to the Kohanim here. Kohanim omnim shuros, right? The Kohanim would stand in lines. My time up. Why would they stand in lines? E lema dilma shakli dava maile de kaspa. Why is it that they made one gold of one silver? And maybe so the Gemara says, if you're concerned that you're going to take a gold one and swap it with a silver one, and therefore it will be moridin bekodesh, right, as opposed to this carbon, which gets the gold, this one gets the silver. Isn't that a disgrace to the carbon, which has to be demoted that way? Hachanami, Dilma Shakli Bar Masan Umayli Bar Mea. Even within the silver or within the gold, they can be of different values, 200, 100, and therefore you're also going to disgrace the one which is 100 when you could have brought it with a 200. El Dahachi Shapar Tzvei. Rather, it was just a matter of niceness. It just looked better. You know, it was just aesthetics. So if anyone ever tells you that there's no aesthetics in Judaism, things don't have to look nice, so here you have it. They even separated the gold from the silver containers so that it would look nice. V'lo hayu l'vazich and shulayim, they didn't have any corners or edges or whatever to put them down. Tana rabbanu kol vazich and shemirik shlo yolo and shulayim, chus mi vazich elevon shalechem, apanim shame yanichom yifrem alechem. The only things in the whole Beis HaMikdash that had corners or edges were the or points that allowed someone to put them down were the containers that held the frankincense of the lechem upon him, lest it sort of roll over or something and knock down the bread and break the bread, something like that. Is that right? Vifros halachem, right? You want it to stay in place, because they were put right next to them, right? These containers were put right next to the bread, and you don't want the bread to get ruined because this thing's rolling around. Shachat Yisrael v'kibbal ha'kohen. So Gemara says, lo sa'ag d'lav Yisrael. Is it not good enough to not have a Yisrael? Why does the Mishnah specifically say that a Yisrael, that a non-kohen, checks the Karban Pesach? So Gemara says, "He guva kaman shulan de shechita bazar kshera." It's trying to teach us that a non kohen could do the shechita. That doesn't mean that a kohen can't, but it's even Israel can. V'kibal a kohen hakaman shulan shemekabla mikabal of erech mitzvah kahuna. That mitzvah kahuna. That in order to actually be kosher, it has to be the blood has to be taken by the kohen. A non kohen cannot take the blood. Okay. Nos no lachavero, you would give it to your friend. Shamas mina, holacha shlo beregel havya holacha. This is interesting. You'd basically have an assembly line of coin, 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 coin. So the Gemara says, well, when we say you have to bring the blood, you have to walk the blood over. Here you see that you don't really have to walk it, but really handing it over is considered like walking.
It's in the first, in Kachim, where they would just, sometimes they would check it right by the altar and they could just throw it on.
Right. Here, they're going from the Azar all the way to the Mizbeach, so they have to transfer it somehow. You don't really need to walk. So the Gemara says, Dilma hu naid porta. No, it's not true. Maybe they did walk a little bit. Each person, when they would carry the thing, they would walk a little bit. V'yelamai kamash v'lan. So then what are you saying? If they are walking a little bit, so then what's the point of having so many kohanim together? Ha kamash v'lan is coming to teach us, Baravam hadros melech, that even though they still have to walk a little bit, it's still better to have more kohanim doing it, because Barav Am Hadras Melech, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, doing a mitzvah with many more people is that much more special.
They didn't say that the same technique was used by the innards that they burnt on the Mizbeach.
That's true. They would just put it on a plate. I don't know why there's a difference, but yeah, good point. I guess blood is harder because you don't... Well, I guess that's also the reason is because the blood they couldn't put down. Right, the plates of the innards, they put on a plate. They could just put them down, and you could get to them later. So maybe that's why they didn't need the whole assembly line. So kibbul asamali matzar sarekan, they would accept. They would take the one that's full of blood, and they would bring back. Only afterwards would they take the one that's empty. Right? Imagine you're the coin in the middle. So this one's coming, the full ones. You grab the full one before you grab the empty one that you have to bring this way. Right? And the reason for that is Gemara says, Aval ibchalo, you don't do it the other way. You don't take the empty one and then the full one. Misaila Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Dam Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah. So you have a mitzvah in front of you, so you do not pass by it. You have to continue doing it. You have to take advantage of the mitzvah when you have it. And this, by the way, is learned out possibly from yesterday's parsha we talked about yesterday between Nechamarev. Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah could be the same thing as Ushmartim es hamatzos, which we darshan in the Mechilta, Ushmartim es hamitzvos. Take care of the mitzvos. If a mitzvah comes, you have to do right away, just like the matzah has to be done right away, and you can't let it become chametz. So too, you have to do a mitzvah right away, you can't let it become chametz. So here too, don't pass over the mitzvah and take the empty one first. Okay.
I think they have to bring the blood on the mizbeach. They have to throw the blood before they bring the parts up to the altar.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And that has to go on first, and they have to keep congealing where the parts have more time.
Right. They could do those later. So, Kohen HaKarvah Etzom Mizbeach, Man Tana Pesach Bezrika. Who says that the Pesach is Bezrika and not Beshvicha, right? That you throw it onto the Mizbeach and you don't pour it onto the Mizbeach, like you do by other things. Amar Rav Chisra, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, he detained the Brayse. Says Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Omer, Es Damam Tizrok Al Mizbeach, Es Chabam Taktir. A pasuk in Bamidbar Yerches, Damol Onamar Ela Damam. Their bloods, not just its blood. Chalbol Onamar Ela Chalbam. Limer Al Bechor Umaser Pesach Shehin Teunu Matan Damim Veimur Mal Mizbeach. Another one of those drashes. You don't really understand how they get to it, but it's not only a reference to a Bechor, not just its blood, but also other bloods of other korbanos, including the Karban Pesach. Minon de Teunin Yisod. How do you know it has to be specifically given on the Yisod, which is underneath at the bottom of the Mizbeach and not on the top of the Mizbeach? So Amar Rabbi Elazar. Zrika zrika mi ola. Ksiv hachas tamam tizrok al mizbeach. Ksiv hachas mizark bnei Aaron kohanim estamo al mizbeach saviv. Ma ola tuna yisod af pesach nami taon yisod. Just like the ola does, so too the pesach does based on this juxtaposition of two psukim. Not exactly referring to the Karban Pesach, but either way, that's how they darshan it. The ola gufa minon. How do you know the ola gets the yisod? Amar kram el yisod mizbeach haola. The mizbeach which brings the ola. That's it says that you bring the chatas of a nasi to the yisod mizbeach haola. Alma Ola Toni Yisod, it must be that that's referring to the same as Beach that gets Yisod, and therefore the Ola gets Yisod, and therefore we sort of retroactively assume that the Karban Pesach also gets Yisod. Okay, Shkayach. Lots of little details about how the Karban Pesach happened. Fascinating. Glad it was a Sunday so we can go through it. Mirz Hashem will pick up tomorrow morning at 6:15. Shkayach, have a good day. Go Chiefs.
You too. Be well.